Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. Yesterday we said that the fourth possibility for the true identity of Melchizedek is that he was the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ. That is, Christ, long before his arrival in Bethlehem, descended in appearance and revealed himself to Abram. Melchizedek was a type of Christ, yes, but even more so, he was Christ. And I told you that this interpretation of the biblical text best fits with the way we interpret Scripture here on God Is. Speaking for myself, and I think so many of you, I believe in the verbal plenary inspiration of Scripture and in a literal interpretation of the Bible. We talked about what these terms mean. Now let's apply this to the Word of God as concerns Melchizedek being a pre-incarnate visit from Christ. To do this, we must return to the 7th chapter of the book of Hebrews. By now we know this passage well because we have discussed it in relation to Melchizedek being a type of Christ. Here is how verse 3 reads. Without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like the Son of God, he remains a priest perpetually. That was chapter 7 of Hebrews and verse 3. When we give this verse a literal interpretation, we find that this must refer to the Lord Jesus Christ in pre-incarnate form. He sweeps onto the scene in Genesis 14 from heaven. Therefore, he came without a human father, without a human mother, without a genealogy. Remember, we are not talking about Christ in the New Testament Gospels. We are talking about Christ in the first book of the Bible. Then, who else could the next part of the verse possibly be referring to? Having neither beginning of days nor end of life. I said it this week, Jesus Christ is eternal. He has no beginning, he has no end, he is the Alpha and the Omega, as he said of himself in Revelation chapter 1. Alpha is the first letter of the Greek alphabet, and Omega is the last letter. So from A to Z is Jesus Christ. Hebrews 7 verse 3 continues, made like the Son of God. And I will deal with this phrase in a moment because you might think this disproves Melchizedek as the pre-incarnate Christ. But verse 3 finishes with, he remains a priest perpetually. Well, who remains a priest perpetually? Jesus Christ does. We have already learned that. How could a mere man, like some say Melchizedek was, how could he be a priest perpetually without end? He could not. He cannot. Not in a literal interpretation of this verse. But what about this phrase, made like the Son of God? Why would Hebrews say, like the Son of God, since Jesus already is the Son of God? Like seems unnecessary if Melchizedek really was Christ. Well, following the insights of Henry Morris here in his book, The Genesis Record, I want to say two things about this. First, it is not unlike the Bible to use this phrase to describe another pre-incarnate appearance of Christ. I have in mind Daniel chapter 3 and verse 25. We go back to the Old Testament in the book of Daniel, which is one of my favorite. In chapter 3, Daniel's three friends, extraordinarily committed to God in an overwhelming flood of idolatry, the three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, are thrown into a fiery furnace by King Nebuchadnezzar. Then a miracle happens. Listen as I read Daniel chapter 3, verses 23 through 26. These three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell into the midst of the furnace of blazing fire, still tied up. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astounded and stood up in haste, and he said to his high officials, "Was it not three men we cast bound into the midst of the fire?" They replied to the king, "Certainly, O king." Nebuchadnezzar said, "Look, I see four men loosed and walking about in the midst of the fire without harm, and the appearance of the fourth is like a son of the gods." Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the door of the furnace of blazing fire. He responded and said, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, come out, you servants of the Most High God, and come here." Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the midst of the fire. Since I give a literal interpretation to the Bible, I believe this literally happened. God takes care of his own, always. And verse 25 of this third chapter of Daniel says this: "The appearance of the fourth is like a son of the gods." Who was this fourth person alongside Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? I believe this was a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus Christ. Nebuchadnezzar, at this point, is a pagan king, and so he says a son of the gods, small g, plural, because he worshipped many gods, and also because that is a reference to one who appeared to be supernatural. The king is saying this fourth one is a supernatural being. What I invite you to notice in detail is the full phrase: "The appearance of the fourth is like a son of the gods." Did you hear that word, like? This sounds to me an awful lot like Hebrews 7 verse 3, which says, "like the Son of God." My first point is that there is a parallel in the Old Testament that writes of a pre-incarnate appearance of Christ as like the Son of God. Second, in the Bible, there is this sense in which until Jesus comes in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, when he becomes flesh, until then, he is only like the Son of God. Morris puts it this way, quote, "In any of his pre-incarnate appearances, he was only temporarily made like the Son of God, as he would one day become permanently." I believe both of these two points refute any objection to Hebrews 7 verse 3 advising us that Melchizedek was indeed the pre-incarnate Christ. While we are answering objections, to be intellectually honest, I have to point you to the next verse in Hebrews 7 verse 4. This is Hebrews 7 verse 4. "Now observe how great this man was to whom Abraham the patriarch gave a tenth of the choicest spoils." That is a reference to Melchizedek, and the question is, if Melchizedek was the pre-incarnate Christ, then how come the writer to the Hebrews says, "this man"? But this is not really a problem, because again, we take into account other pre-incarnate appearances, and the appearance is said to be that of a man. There are a few examples, but we only have time for just one. So come with me to Genesis chapter 18 and verse 1. Genesis 18 verses 1 through 3 says, "Now the Lord appeared to Abram by the oaks of Mamre while he was sitting at the tent door in the heat of the day. When Abram lifted up his eyes and looked, behold, three men were standing opposite him, and when he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the earth and said, 'My Lord, if now I have found favor in your sight, please do not pass your servant by.'" Genesis 18, 1 through 3. Wow. This is a theophany, an appearance of God. As usual, I wish we had more time here, but Lord willing, we will get to Genesis 18 in due course. The point here is that verse 2 says three men were standing before Abram, and one of those quote-unquote men was Yahweh God. So here, men is reflective of a theophany, an appearance of God. Therefore, this man in Hebrews 7 verse 4 does not mean that Melchizedek could not be the pre-incarnate Jesus. Indeed, I believe Melchizedek was the pre-incarnate Christ. By the way, at Genesis 18, I must insert this. How do I know one of these three men is an appearance of God? First, verse 1 says, the Lord appeared. Lord meaning God. Second, in verse 22 of this same chapter, 18, we read that two of the three men turned away and went to Sodom while Abraham was still standing before the Lord. Again, Lord means God. So two of the three men were angels, and the third was in appearance, a theophany, God. There's more I want to say about Melchizedek being the pre-incarnate Christ, and we'll have to do so tomorrow. For now, I just want to remind you that Hebrews chapter 7, verses 3 and 4, I think point to Christ. This is the most literal interpretation of the text, and I have answered objections. Remember, in addition to my approach of interpreting Scripture literally, I also believe in the verbal plenary inspiration of Scripture. By verbal, I mean that every single word of the Bible is God-given. When a word is there, it's important. When a word is not there, that's important. Looking carefully at what is and what is not in the text leads me to my conclusions. But what do you think? I am sincerely curious. Write to me and let me know if you would. And do not miss our appointment tomorrow in the Word of God. We're going to return to this. Was Melchizedek the pre-incarnate Christ? Interesting, isn't it? Join us again tomorrow, because God is.
Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others, and be sure and join me for the next one.